It's time for our first catch-up of the year with Tristan Parker from eAccess Bulletin. Now, each month we'll be speaking with Tristan for a bit of a flavour, if you like, of what's coming up in the free monthly bulletin around accessible technology. Tristan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Alan. Good to be back here.
And let's start off with a look at innovation for age.
This is a new project that's just been launched by the International Longevity Centre, which is a think tank that works on ageing and population demographics. So the project is going to bring together groups of experts to try and find solutions to some of the problems that people encounter as they get older, particularly long-term conditions like sight loss, hearing, dementia, that kind of thing. So it's expected that a big part of this project and some of the suggestions and ideas that come out of it will be technology-based products and services, things that can help older consumers, whether that's sort of in helping them lead a bit more of an independent life, or whether that's helping them cope with a long-term condition. So this project, it's only at the very beginning. As I said, it's only just very recently launched, but it's really expected to present some very useful ideas and services over the course of the year. So it's really one to keep an eye on, and one that we'll be covering in the bulletin as it goes on.
Pretty important with technology being used more and more now by older people. Silver surfers, I think, is the term they use sometimes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. It's such an important demographic of the population, and it unfortunately does get overlooked all too often.
Okay, let's move on then from innovation for aging. Just a reminder that you'll find more details on these topics in the free bulletin. We'll give you contact details to receive that a little bit later. Moving on to Facebook now, and a bit of facial recognition.
Blind and visually impaired users of Facebook will be able to get a bit more information about photographs that come up in their newsfeed. So this is due to facial recognition technology, which is going to describe photos to screen reader users in a bit more detail. Specifically, what it's going to do is let them know which of their friends on Facebook appear in photos, even if those friends haven't been tagged. So this is down to kind of artificial intelligence technology, which analyzes the pixels in a photograph, and it creates a template from those pixels, which it then tries to match against photos when they appear. It's sort of quite advanced, obviously, bits of it, but it's not actually new for Facebook. This facial recognition element has been used by Facebook for a couple of years now, I think, but the company has just expanded it, I suppose, for this purpose of helping screen reader users. So people using a screen reader on Facebook can already enable alt text so that you can hear sort of basic descriptions of what's in a photo, for example, the background or an object. But that's been quite sort of, as I say, that's been quite basic information so far. It's really starting to, I suppose, open up photos in Facebook and what can be done and understood by people with a screen reader. So it's potentially quite an exciting development.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm blind myself and I use Facebook, and yeah, I have had, pictures pop up and it may say picture showing two people and a dog with grass and trees. So it'd be great actually if it could even recognise some of the people in that.
I think it's only the kind of thing that's gonna get built on and developed more and more as time goes on. So another interesting one to follow.
Okay, we're staying with the topic of audio description. Slightly different now. The charity Vocalise has released information. This is looking at access to museums and galleries.
Essentially, a couple of hundred museums around the UK have been contacted by Vocalise, this charity, and they've been asked to add access information to their websites. What this means is any kind of information that might help someone with an impairment or a disability. So that could be something about wheelchair ramps, braille displays within the museum, or an email address for accessibility queries, anything that might help someone plan a visit to the museum. So just to give a tiny bit of background on Vocalise quickly. They're a charity which works to make arts and cultural spaces more accessible. And a lot of that work centres around audio description services within theatres. So Vocalise have contacted these museums, 458 museums. The reason they've asked these museums specifically to add this information is that back in 2016, they carried out a huge audit of all the museums in the UK called the State of Museum Access. And these 458 museums specifically were found not to have any kind of access info on their websites. So Vocalise are sort of preparing to do that study again later this year. And ahead of that, they've sort of contacted these museums to sort of, I suppose, give them a heads up, and hopefully they'll add this information, because it's really crucial for a lot of people in planning a visit to a museum.
Absolutely. Now, in the bulletins, you don't just look at different topics, you also have features on individuals. Who appears in this month's?
So this is an interview with a lady called Jackie Brown. And Jackie is the chair of the British Computer Association of the Blind. The interview sort of discusses a few things with Jackie. It kind of starts off with Jackie talking about how when she began using a very early speech synthesizer on an old computer called a BBC Micro several decades ago, how this made her realize how valuable assistive technology can be. Jackie is blind, I should say. And so when she began using this speech synthesizer, it really kind of started to open things up for her. And ever since that, she's taken a really big interest in the topic and become very knowledgeable on it. She now writes product reviews of assistive technology on her website, and she, over the years, she became very active within the British Computer Association of the Blind, standing for the Board of Trustees and eventually becoming chair of the organisation in November last year. So the interview just goes into a bit more detail about the kinds of technology she uses on a day-to-day basis and what her hopes and aims are for the association.
You say the BBC Micro from decades ago, I remember using that at high school. Cheers for that, yeah, Tristan. Yeah. Now, people also get the chance to submit letters to the inbox as well, so they can ask questions of your readers and yourselves and get some feedback too. So it's not just all about features, is it?
No, absolutely. Reader interaction is always a crucial part of the bulletin, and we do sort of urge people to get in contact with us. You can reach me on eaccessbulletin, that's all one word, at gmail.com. You can get in contact with us over Twitter at eaccessbulletin. And if you want a kind of idea of the sort of articles we publish, I'd say take a look at our blog, where we publish most of the content online from the bulletins, at www.headstar.com/EAB live. And we'd also urge you to sign up to the bulletin. As Alan mentioned, it's completely free. It's just a once a month email with news and features and interviews in about assistive technology. So to do that, just go to the following web address. And I should say there's no www in front of this. So the address is lists.headstar.com. Just to spell that out quickly, that's lists.headstar.com.
Tristan, thanks so much for joining us once again. Now let's hope more people do sign up to the free bulletin, packed with lots of useful information, advice and tips. And we'll speak to you again next month. Thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great. Thanks a lot, Alan.